Cole Moore has come from Cornerstone University. He's a junior there. He's going to go back for his senior year, but Cole came home for the summer to be our official youth intern. He's halfway through that right now, and he's done a marvelous job. We want to thank Cole for what he's done. He came and took our middle school students on a camping trip, so you can question his sanity. And then this weekend, he had our high school students on a camping trip. I don't know why'd you pick the coldest days of July? Okay. June? July is June? Okay. It's June, that's why. July is when it gets warm in Michigan. Anyways. But anyways, we're thankful that Cole has been here and he's been serving. It's been great. It has allowed me to take a break a little bit this summer, but I'm enjoying hearing the great things that he is doing. I wanted to give you a heads up as a church. One of the things is he's a college student and he's going back for his senior year. And so we are paying him. You don't usually pay interns, but we wanted to pay him this summer. But we're paying him with the mindset, just this is a preparation announcement. We're paying with the mindset that in August, before he goes back, we as a church are going to take up a love offering to help Cole with his college expenses. So I'm just preparing you ahead of time. Parents and students, I know you know his involvement and what he's meant to you, but the rest of the church, even though you might not be directly impacted, which you will be in July, he's going to preach twice, two Sundays in July. You'll be blessed by him. By the time we come to August, I think August 11th is your last day, hopefully we as a church can just bless the socks off of him and encourage him as he goes and finishes up his training. With that said, I'm going to invite Cole to come up. I'm giving him just a couple minutes to talk about youth ministry and its importance. Thank you, Cole.
I want to say thank you to you guys as a church. It was kind of almost daunting coming back here after being away for a couple years at school. I had a couple summers up at Camp Barrakel serving as a counselor, and that was an amazing experience too. But you guys have welcomed me back with open arms to come back and kind of be the ringleader of the OSM circus. And it's been amazing. It's been a true blessing. I want to turn you guys, if you want to open up your Bibles to it or flip to it, to Proverbs 22, verse 6. And the author of Proverbs writes this: "Start children off on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." This summer, I have been so blessed by the opportunity to go, to be here and to work with the high schoolers and the middle schoolers, the leaders. And it's just such an important time in the lives of these students. And again, I'm only a couple years removed from that. Like, I know how important youth ministry was to me when I was a student, having role models and godly people speaking to me and just push me on that trajectory. So I a couple years older, 21, am on a trajectory, on the right path that I'm not planning to depart from. So it's just such an important time in the lives of these students to pour into them and to show them the word of God, to show them the love of Christ, to introduce them to Jesus. And it's just been an amazing opportunity this summer to have the privilege to do that. I'm just, again, so grateful for the godly leaders. PD mentioned them, the people that I get to serve with every Sunday night and on the camping trips and the late nights and things like that. Just so grateful for the leaders that they have. Again, the godly role models that are imitating Christ, imitators of Christ for the students, showing them the love of God and teaching them the word of God. It's been amazing. One of my goals just this summer is to introduce these students and to help them build their foundation on Christ. We've been talking about the gospel all summer long and unpacking the gospel, and it's been amazing just trying to help them build their foundation so that they know that they are walking and standing and built firm on the solid rock of Christ. And that's the goal. That is the goal that I want to, like all of my seniors that are graduating, all of the sixth graders that are coming in, I want them to have the foundation of Christ that they are standing firm and walking on. So I want to ask you, church, I want to challenge you, church. What are you doing? What are you doing to help build the foundation, help these students live in and stand firm on the foundation of Christ? Parents, what are you doing? Are you training your children in the fear and instruction of the Lord? Are you doing that, not just dropping them off at youth group? Are you helping them to grow and mature in the home and not just on Sunday nights? People who don't have children, older adults, are you being disciple makers? Are you discipling these students as they are growing and walking through these hard stages of life in this super important time in their lives? Are you doing that? Are you fulfilling the Great Commission right here in the church? Making disciples who make disciples who make disciples? I want to challenge you guys. Get involved. Find students to pour into. Really, don't just say you love them, but show them you love them by showing them and doing and investing in them and just building on that foundation of Christ. There's so much great potential with these students. I've seen it on the camping trip and just how invested they are and hungry they are to hear the word of God and to be shaped more like Christ. And there's just such a cool opportunity here. The harvest is great. The laborers are few. Are you going to step up, church? I want to pray for us before we move on to hear from a couple of our students preach. So would you guys pray with me? Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for our students here at Oakwood. We're so grateful for their energy, their passion for you. And Lord, I just pray that you would use us as a church to pour into them and to be intentional and passionate about just showing them Christ, teaching them from the word of God who you are and who they need to be in light of that, Lord. We thank you just for the opportunity that they present us, Lord. And I pray that you would help us and energize us as a church to step up and just to fulfill the Great Commission even in our own four walls, Lord. So we love you and we thank you. We ask that you would bless the rest of our time together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cole. One of the things that I was challenged about as I spent 25 years in youth ministry was having adults involved with those students and in their lives. I was part of the board of Vision for Youth International, and we would put on a youth conference every year for youth workers. And we had one of the famous youth speakers who got up and challenged us as youth pastors. And he was talking about ratios, how many adults you should have working with teens. And as a youth pastor, when I started in youth ministry, Cole's age, it was all about a good youth pastor can handle about 25 teens. A good youth pastor who's addicted to coffee can handle about 30. And I came into a youth ministry in Battle Creek that had about 10 kids and immediately grew it up to about 40 because I drank way too much coffee. But I realized that it just stayed there. Years in, I prayed to God. I'm like, God, give us more reach. Give us more teens. And it was very clear to me, he was not going to give us more until we could handle more. And I started recruiting helpers. And so I grew our team of people that worked with teens to over 20 adults. And I'm sitting here listening to this guy talk, and I'm feeling pretty good about myself. As a youth pastor, I had about 20 adults, over 100 teens. My ratio's, I think, pretty good. And he kept on saying, remember the ratio is 5-1. 5-1. I'm like, hey, I did it. I'm an excellent youth pastor. I was just sitting there going, no, you all need to listen to this. I was really proud, thinking, I'm doing it. And he just kept hammering that. And just remember, the ratio is 5-1. 5-1. You got to have 5-1. And at the end of his message, he said, so I close by reminding you, you must have 5 adults in every one student's life. And it totally, I was actually the one that had to get up and close that night, and I broke down and melted in tears, realizing that the task is not that simple. Our young people have so many influences in their lives. They need 5 adults that will care about them, check in on them, and love them. Now, not all of you can be in the student ministry. I'm not asking for us to have 500 workers to come in to work with our teens. Not all of you can come in and work, but you all can be in the lives of our young people. Somebody that has a youth DNA, youth ministry DNA, I'm going to push us as a church to remember that 5-1 ratio. And you might not be able to come and volunteer weekly, but when you're here, you can see teens and you can stop them and say, hey, how are you doing? What's going on in your life? What should I be praying about for you? The school year gets ready to start. You can grab a kid and say, where do you go to school? Or are you homeschooled? What can I be praying for you as this year starts? Get to know them. And in doing so, our ratio can get closer to that 5-1 that's needed. Let's do it, church. Well, I'm proud to introduce our first preacher today. Our first speaker is actually not a senior, full disclosure, but he's a more. And Cole was up here already, and when you get one more, I guess you got to have more mores. And months and months and months ago, I actually asked our teens during student ministries who would like to get up and preach. And we only had 2 volunteers that actually stood up and said, I'll do it. I'll be willing to do that. One of them was Cole. So I know he's not a senior, but I'm going to ask Cole to come up or out wherever he's at. Spencer. Not Spencer. Cole, you already talked. Spencer. This is Spencer Moore. And another good trait is their hair. So
we're good at it.
Where is, not so much for the oldest one, but for the rest of them, the hair. Not you, Jeff. I'm talking about the oldest son, but he's all right. There's a lot of Moores, I'm telling you. So I told these young people that are coming up, Spencer is going to speak to us, and then Alana May is going to come share a testimony and some scripture, and then Gabe Mao is going to come back up, and he's going to speak to us today. I told them not to worry about you guys as an audience, because you already love them, amen? They don't need to win their audience, they've already been won. So enjoy, talk to us, make sure your mic's on.
Thank you. Is it on? Yeah. Good? Sweet. Good morning, Oakwood. How are you guys doing? I am Spencer, as PD failed to realize. I'm 17. I go to Oxford. I'm going into senior year. Been going to this church since basically I was born. My parents are Jeff and Kay. My dad works downstairs. My mom works in a nursery. So I guess you probably don't see him much if you don't have kids. Anyway, let's just get straight into it. We're talking about the fear of God today. First of all, what is this fear of God? I know that we most of us probably have a base level understanding, if you're like me, before I really started delving into it, which is the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, which first of all, awesome, but then still doesn't tell us what is this fear of God. So our basic definition that we're going off of today is that the fear of God is knowing who God is and therefore responding appropriately. So if you're anything like me and you hear that definition for the first time, you're like, okay, why are we calling it fear? Well, I think our definition of fear in America has been poorly done. I think a better definition of fear, rather than terror or dread, not terror or dread, we're not fearing God, we're not scared of God. Rather, fearing something is simply giving something power over you. For example, my sister, she fears spiders. If there was a tiny little jumping spider in this room, in that corner, she would give that thing as much power as possible. She would be hiding in that corner, probably quivering, just to give that thing as much power as possible. And so because we should be fearing God, we should be giving God as much power as possible because of who he is. Our fear is a reverent awe. We are saying, God, take this power because of who you are. Does that make sense? We're getting it? All right. So let's get in the first part of this. If we're going to grow in the fear of God, let's talk about who is God. So who is God? Well, first of all, God's the creator. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Pretty basic. We all know that. What? God's the creator. God created literally everything. I feel like we say this too much and we don't understand it. God created the sun and the stars. Have you guys ever been on top of a mountain? Have you guys ever, looking at doubt on top of a mountain is crazy. You're like, oh my gosh, the world is so big and God created me. God created the little chemical reactions that are going on in our bodies right now, the fundamental properties of subatomic particles, magnetic fields for whatever reason. And it's all created with purpose and intention. All of it has purpose and intention. That pebble you stepped on this morning, that blade of grass you saw, has purpose. We have purpose, which is crazy because God is also completely holy. 1 Samuel 2:2, there is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. God is holy. What does this holy word mean? In Hebrew, it really just means set apart. God is completely set apart from everything in creation. There is nothing like God. And what else is God? A whole bunch of other things that we could never really fully understand. That's just a couple. That's not even scratching the surface. And those verses that are really just saying that we can't understand God. These English human words don't even do justice to who God is. Saying God is infinite doesn't define God. It doesn't do enough. Does that make sense? Are we getting this? Sweet. Awesome. So, who am I? Not God. We get this? I am nothing compared to the unlimited, perfect, and completely perfect and holy God. This one, Psalm 8:4. Man, I get tingles when I read this. I'm not going to lie. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. The psalmist here, I'm pretty sure it's David, gets it. Who are we compared to God? We're nothing. Isaiah 40:15, surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. It says we're regarded as dust on the scales. How many of you, when you're standing on the scale or putting an apple on the scale, I don't know, what do we use scales for? How many of you wipe the dust off because it's going to add extra weight? Nobody does. And that's all we are to God. We are nothing. We are dust. Dust means nothing to us unless you're a mom when family's coming over. And since God's not a mom with family coming over, we are nothing to God. So how must I respond to who God is? By fearing God. What does it mean for me to fear God? Well, Proverbs 9:10 tells us that fearing God is rooted in knowledge of the Holy One, which makes sense based on our definition. Isaiah 66:2 says that if we're going to fear God, we'll be humble. We have to humble ourselves in order to grow in the fear of God, in order to understand God more. Fearing God is revering God, Psalm 33:8. So that helps with our definition where we said that the fear of God is a reverent awe. And I have one more. Fearing God keeps us from sinning. And I feel like this is a very big one that doesn't get talked about enough. If we realize how holy and awesome God is, how holy his law is, who are we going to be to try to break that? To say, it's just casual sex or everybody here is drinking. It's a white lie. Who are we to say that when it's a perfect and holy law? So how are we to grow in the fear of God? I feel like that was a terrible transition. I'm sorry about that. So if we're going to grow in the fear of God, let's go back to our definition. The fear of God is knowing who God is and responding accordingly. So if we're going to grow in the response, we have to grow in the knowledge of who God is. So how do we grow in knowing who God is? Is meditating on who God is. And this was a big one for me when I really started delving into it. Meditating on who God is. Did I have a verse for this? Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. We are to meditate on who God is. I know, like I said, this personally helped me so much, meditating on God is holy, God is love. And not just the things I wanted to hear, that God is holy and God is love, but also that God is just. God is wrathful. God does send people to hell. And these are things we have to understand in order to respond properly. And something that'll help you with that, with meditating on who God is not putting a limit on God. Not saying, God can't do this, God won't do this, God couldn't do this. Who are we to limit God? Another thing, last thing, is to get into the word. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, it says. We are to be in the word. And if we think about this logically, if we go back to point number one, I'm sorry, I love laser pointers, I'm not going to lie. If we go back to point number one, meditating on who God is, if we're getting into the word, we're able to soak up more of who God is and what he does and how he responds so that we can more accurately meditate on who God is and grow more in the fear of God. So now, probably the most important part of this, is the fear of God even important? Well, believe it or not, the answer is yes, actually. And I could get why you would say not really. You know, I'm on like the Christian side of basically every social media, and it's been a while since I've heard the fear of God talked about. And that was true for like a long time until I started following this one program called Living Waters, business, I don't know. And one of their big things is how important the fear of God is. And their passion about it led me to think about it on my own. Is the fear of God really important? And this has led me to the belief that the fear of God is the backbone of the Christian life. Think about even before you become a Christian. Before you can say, I need Jesus, you have to do what? Realize that God is holy, and we have broken his holy law, and realize that God is just. He condemns sinners. And then the response to that is by accepting what Jesus has done. The beginning of the Christian life starts with the fear of God. And everything else from there grows because of the fear of God. The things we do as Christians, reading the Bible, praying, worshiping, even tithing, they're all chores if we don't fear God. So the fear of God is the backbone of Christianity. Peter, you've got a bad back. When your back's throwing a fit, how easy is it to live your life?
Hard.
It's hard to live your life when your back is throwing a fit. So I know what you guys are thinking. Spencer, we hate opinions. Give us scripture. Scripture! Ecclesiastes 12:13. So let's get some context for this. Ecclesiastes is a book in the Old Testament, and it's basically all but confirmed to be written by Solomon, so the wisest man who ever lived. And the first 11 chapters of Ecclesiastes talk about how everything is meaningless. Wealth, the big house, fame, the pretty wife, it's all meaningless. He says it's all like chasing the wind over and over and over again as he addresses things. And then the author here closes out the book with the one thing in life that has meaning. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. So basically saying, we've talked about everything. Here is what matters in life. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. Fear God and keep his commandments. Thank you.
Now you might have a little glimpse of why I love being around students. Oh, you'd be surprised. Did you have any idea that was going to happen? I mean, you see Spencer, he just kind of walks around. You never even hear him peep, right? Talk to our kids. Talk to our students. You'll find out there's so much life. There's so much wisdom. And I appreciate his work on that. Thank you, Spencer. Now, we're going to invite to stage one of our young ladies who I just appreciate so much, Alana May. Alana's a senior at Oxford. She might want to tell you that, so I probably shouldn't have stole her thunder. But Alana is one of our special kids here at Oakwood that I just enjoy seeing. She lights up the room. She's going to share with you some thoughts. I asked her just to talk about youth ministry and just share some scripture. So, Alana, enjoy. Thank you. Alana May, everybody.
Good morning. I was, as PD said, I was asked to speak on what youth group means to me. So my simple answer for that is probably what you would expect. The student ministries has given me a place to open myself up to new people, new experiences, and most importantly, the Word of God, which is great. But the truth is, it goes way, way further than that. Oakwood Student Ministries has partnered me with a close-knit group of people that I can count on to lean in times of need, to pray for me, encourage me, and be by my side. It's hard to find friends who encourage my faith, but through the student ministries, God has provided for me. God has also blessed Oakwood with exceptional leaders and mentors for the students, people who can help teach us and guide us through questions that we feel we need an answer in. I've had a very unique high school experience, and through my rough times, I've always felt I've had someone that I can approach if I need support. Oftentimes, leaders even go out of their way to support me outside of church. They'll come to my swim meets, recitals, pretty much any event that you could think of. Youth group has become a safe and comfortable place for me to be. It has helped me build character and expand my faith into serving those around me with projects or faith-sharing opportunities, as well as diving deeper into the Word of God so I can strengthen my own relationship with Him. One of my favorite Bible verses that is a reminder for me is Isaiah 40, 6-8. It says, "A voice said, shout. I asked, what should I shout? Shout that people are like grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in a field. The grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord. And so it is with people. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever." This is one of my favorite verses because it's a good reminder that even in all the inconsistent people and situations of this world, God is the one constant thing that you can always count on, and He is always there for you, which is something that Oakwood Student Ministries helps students to fully understand, as they did for me. To end, I just want to say I'm very grateful for every opportunity and present. Sorry. I just want to say I'm very grateful for every opportunity and event I've ever been a part of through the student ministries. And if there are any students who aren't sure about being a part of it, I just want to encourage you to at least give it a try. It's so worth it. You make so many good friends, so many good connections, and it just helps improve your life so much. Oakwood Student Ministries has really helped me grow as a person. So I really recommend giving it a try. Thank you.
Thanks, Alana. Thank you. Alana is taking off probably in August for Asbury, right? Yep, and she's going to be studying there. So that's always the hardest part. The thing I despise the most about working with teens is they grow up and they leave. And Battle Creek was a town where not many students stayed. They went away to school. I think Ortonville's a little bit like that as well. Some of our students are going to be around. Some of our taking off all over the country for college. But for those that are still going to be here, we are trying to launch a new college group for just the 4 years out of high school, and we're excited to keep those involved that are here and staying. So, well, to wrap up today, we have one more speaker. Hopefully you got the mic call taken care of good. This is Gabe Mao. You've seen Gabe playing piano for us. He went and broke his wrist, was
yeah,
it? He broke
hand.
His wrist earlier this spring playing wiffle ball. Now, I don't know how bad you got to be a wiffle ball to break your wrist, but... For a piano player who's actually going, what school are you heading to again?
Olivet Nazarene.
Olivet Nazarene for keyboard, right? Isn't it mostly
composition
piano?
And composition. Audio production.
Not a good thing. But his wrist healed up. I was so thankful he was able to play piano today and help us in worship. Now he's going to speak to us. This is Gabe Mao.
Thank you. So, like you said, I am Gabe Mao, and I am homeschooled, and I'm 18. I'm a proud homeschooler, and that means I'm a proud nerd. And all nerds, from what I've seen, like Lord of the Rings, this is sort of like the guideline for nerds. But what I like about Lord of the Rings is Frodo's carrying a burden that he couldn't bear by himself. That's why I love it so much. And I'm not here to preach Lord of the Rings today. That's not my goal. So, the big idea is God offers us an everlasting opportunity that we can come to him with any burden. The main passage is Matthew 11, 25 through 30, and 28 through 30 is my life verse. At that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and to anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal to him." This is the context of the passage. Basically, we cannot receive God, I guess we could receive God, but we don't have the accessibility that the Jews had beforehand. And then my life verse, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So how can we cast our burdens? What I have three main spiritual disciplines I think are key. They are essential in order for us to cast down our burdens. Number one, worship. Worship was good today, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's why I'm part of it. It never ceases to amaze me how much miracles can happen during a normal Sunday service. And worship team is the number one, in my opinion, example of that. Hebrews 12:28, "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe." Worship is the act of refocusing our lives upon Christ. And without us putting ourselves lower than God, it is impossible for us to put our burdens down. Number two, prayer. Romans 12:12, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer." Matthew 21:22, "And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." And then Isaiah 51:12a, "I am he who comforts you." Prayer is the number one tool in a Christian's toolbox. Without prayer, we wouldn't know who God is. Without prayer, we can't have a relationship with God. And without prayer, our relationship with him would be stagnant. And then number three, the church. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. And then Ecclesiastes 4:10, for if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has no one to help him up. You can judge the spiritual life of a church by the amount of help they give to outside the church and inside the church. I'm happy to report that we're in a live church today. Amen. I'm happy to report that I have seen love throughout this community that I have never seen elsewhere. I remember when I had, I have OCD, and this is not like the monk style, oh, everything must be clean. I'm not that type of person. But it got to the point where I went to the ER once because of my mental state at one point. And during that time of darkness, the Bible and the remembrance of what I had here was the only comfort that I had in those times of need. So, what can we cast down? What burdens can we cast down? Number one, the burden of sin. This is the gospel. It says, none is righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death. The free Christ Jesus. Christ gave us a gift that so many do not use to their advantage. Now, as Christians, we can approach the throne with confidence, something that we did not have beforehand. We're all born shackled to the earth because of Adam and that sin in the Garden of Eden. And this burden that not just I carry, but every one of us carries, if we do not put it at the feet of the Lord, we will be buried under this burden. The cross was nailed sin to Jesus that we could not put on ourselves. And number two, the burdens of life, being dependent on God. Psalm 55:22, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. So now, since as Christians, we have the opportunity to approach the throne with confidence, we can approach him with anything that we have, whether it be sins or whether it just be a problem that we have in our lives. If you're struggling with depression or anxiety today, you can cast it to the Lord's feet. If you are struggling with ailments, if you're struggling with gossip, if you're struggling with anything, we can all go to the Lord's feet and say, you got this, this is yours. And now we can take off our burden and receive the rest that God gave us. Have you put your burdens down at the Lord's feet? I would encourage you to do that today if you have not. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, man, you guys had no idea. This thing is full of rocks. See? I might have to talk to him about that. You can give an illustration and fill it with toilet paper or something. You don't. There's a real. Well, shoot, I was going to grab one, but they're huge. Look at that. He's got a ton of them in here. He was struggling up here. Some of y'all are thinking that he's walking around like this because he's weird, but he's not. He's. Man. He talk about making the point. So I hope this morning, through our young people, you are challenged to see that we need to begin with the total understanding of who God is and then respond appropriately. How do we do that? Well, you got burdens you can give him, your sin burdens, man-made burdens, other burdens that are in our lives. So boy, you've been taught. Isn't it great? We can learn from our young people. I thank Alana as well for sharing with us from her heart about what it means to be involved in our student ministries and what that helps with. Well, you guys are going to love Youth Sundays because we are wrapping it up and it is early. Amen? Got to have these teens take over this service more often. And Gabe, you're not the only one. I got to tell you a quick story. I tried hard. Starting in June, we went to one service, and so we put some chairs out in the back, and this week I was in here with Melissa, and I said, Melissa, I can't do it. I've been trying so hard. I have OCD as well, and something just drive me nuts. We have two different kinds of chairs here, old ones and new ones. They look alike, but they're absolutely different. And on the walls, they had old ones and new ones all over the place. So I said, Melissa, I can't do it. And so I actually took all the chairs, the match on one side, one on the other. So you're not alone, Gabe. You're not alone. The struggle is real. But we're so blessed. We are so grateful. I just want to close by telling you something quickly. I think I've made a decision. We've been working through the book of Daniel. And now that we're in summer, there's going to be a lot of me traveling and being gone and other people speaking. And I've just looked at it. I've been working on the rest of Daniel. I probably should have put a nice bow on it last week, but I think I'm going to move on. We're not going to delve into the rest of the prophecy in Daniel, and it's not because I'm afraid. It's just because I've been doing a lot of study and research, and I'm going to tell you, the number one thing, and I told the people that stood on the stage this today, when you stand here, you want to have the confidence of saying, thus saith the Lord. And if you look at the rest of Daniel, and I'd encourage you to do that. You can do some own research on the 70 weeks of Daniel. But as I looked at it, there's so much disagreement on some of the facts there. And I don't want to just get up and say, here's what I think, here's what I guess. I do have an opinion, but you don't care about my opinion. And I don't feel like my opinion is worthy of saying, thus saith the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that we should not look into prophecy. I think I did that last time when I spoke in Daniel, but I don't think we should be obsessed with prophecy. Understand the purpose of God revealing to Daniel that the end was coming and it was going to get bad, but God was going to win. Amen? And I think that's the point of the rest. For me to stand up and tell the rest of what Daniel had, the visions Daniel had seen, I think for a lot of you it would be frustrating. And for a lot of you it would be like, what is going on? What just happened? And so friends, I want you just to trust me. When the Lord doesn't give me peace, Julie's been asking me all week, what have you decided? What have you decided? And then she said, well, it sounds like you don't have peace. And I don't have peace standing up and preaching through the rest of the book of Daniel. Not that you shouldn't read it. I encourage you to look at it. We're simply going to move on. Amen? And you'll be okay. If anybody wants to talk about that, I definitely can share my opinion on what I see happening toward the end of time and how God's revelation to Daniel gives us a window into that. But I also am not one of those that wants to obsess about it. I do know that God is faithful. He will not leave us, and we're going to be fine. I hope you're blessed today, and I encourage you to be back next week. I'll be preaching, but do pray for Julie and I. We'll be serving at Camp Barakel this week. I got 8 messages to speak, and then I'll be in the pulpit here Sunday. Then I go on vacation for a little bit. So that's looking like the rest of our summer. So let's stand together, and let's pray. And we will be dismissed. Young people, and those of you who heard Alana's testimony and encouragement to come check out student ministries, tonight's a great night, Cole. It's, what is it called? S'mores? S'mores and scriptures. So we're going to be outside by the fire and making s'mores. But Cole has invited Pastor Ted and I to come and to sit as a panel for any questions the teens might have. So young people, you can come tonight. You can ask all the very hard technical life theological questions, and Ted will answer those. I will tell you where to get the best pizza. I'll tell you where the coffee is, but no, we're going to have a good time, and no questions are out of bounds. Ted and I are willing just to talk to you what we've learned from Scripture, from God's Word, and so that's for our young people tonight, 6 o'clock, right, Cole? All right, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We leave here with a smile on our face today as we are blessed with young people serving in the technology area, our young people serving on the drums, guitar, vocals, keyboards, leading us in worship, and then coming to the mic and sharing our hearts, whether through a message, a testimony. But God, we are blessed. The word is true, and we can learn from even the young today. So help us to take your word and apply it throughout our lives, that we might have meaningful lives, full of joy. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.